I'm Trudy Kerr and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I'll be talking to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by an outstanding woman, WFF European Bikini Pro Champion in 2018, fourth in the World Fitness Federation Pro Championships 2019, and the first Maltese to compete in a university pro lineup and to be placed fifth in the world. This woman is also motivating with a cheeky sense of humor that she brings to her warehouse fitness classes. And to add to all of that, despite her seemingly innocent smile, I can speak from experience when I say that she is an absolute real witch when it comes to completing an impossible number of core crunches. I am, of course, talking to Leanne Bartolo. Leanne, we're going to be talking about a wide range of topics today, including body image, sustainable workout regimes, the effects of COVID on people being active, and so, so much more. But first up, Leanne Bartolo, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. How are you, beautiful lady?
First of all, thank you for that amazing intro.
Did I get that right?
Yes, perfectly right.
Excellent.
Thank you. I'm good, thank you. I'm planning some future, and I'm working on some future projects, so we never waste time.
Just to outline exactly who you are, because we talked about the WFF European Bikini Pro Championships and we mentioned Warehouse, but I also know that you do an awful lot more than that. So what do you do?
So, I do a lot. I do volunteer work. I used to teach in a private school for 8 years. Then I stopped on sabbatical. I'm still on sabbatical leave because the intention was to focus on my competitions and to start my master's.
Hang on a second, okay. There's a whole load of information there as well. What did you teach?
Level 4, all subjects, but I was coordinating science. I used to love it. I miss teaching. It keeps me young. It keeps me cheeky. It keeps me silly.
Level 4 of the small
Level
kids.
4, that explains my behavior.
Okay. Well, it does if you understand level 4. Now I'm understanding level 4 is quite small kids.
I was meant to teach secondary, but I always felt comfortable teaching younger kids.
Okay, so we've got that. We've got your master's. What are you studying for a master's?
Sports and neuropsychology.
Okay, so that's kind of natural lead into what you do outside of that. Let's touch on the voluntary first. What else do you do?
So voluntary, at the moment, it's a bit on hold, but I've been doing voluntary at Mount Carmel, then shifted to voluntary with kids who have muscle dystrophy. I do quite a lot. I do a number of free fitness classes to collect money for different causes. So I get people approaching me, Lee, can we do a class to collect money for this cause? Listen, I'm going abroad to do voluntary. Can you kindly give me an hour of your time to do a free class? You know, I do a lot of that as well.
Okay.
We've helped to build schools in Ethiopia as well through Kilimanjaro. And then after that, we kept on helping in behind the scenes. No, I love volunteer work. It gives you so much back. Plus, I do a lot of it indirectly. Not everyone is comfortable to pay for classes, so I'm happy to support without anyone else knowing. I'm happy to meet up someone who really needs to be listened to, you know, without charging anything. And obviously, whenever it's something that needs more attention, I guide them. Listen, there are professionals out there ready to listen and to. I do a lot of that, and then I'm always there to help. I make it a point that that remains a big part of my life.
So on top of all of that, people would probably know you more likely with your association with these WFF competitions and also through Warehouse, which is your warehouse.
My second house, my fitness. In fact, people who come to Warehouse, they are my fitness family.
Okay, so and these are the classes that you do and the training that you do.
Yes. That's okay. Only one side of Leanne, but it's a big chunk of my life now. I spend quite a few hours of my day at warehouse doing PT, cleaning the place up, planning for workouts, doing the actual workouts. It's quite a full-time job, but I love it. I just love it.
And on top of that, and we'll come to it in a moment after we talked about COVID, you also have been in these international and wide world competitions, which is incredible. Before we get there, you've just mentioned fitness, you've just mentioned warehouse, you've mentioned these classes. How have you been affected by, because you also talked about getting back to normality. How have you been affected by COVID?
I've been affected quite a lot. In the beginning, I was very proactive. That's Leanne. I love to remain behind the scenes, and I do a lot of work that I don't get credit for, and I don't even want to. Because I believe that when you do voluntary, if you really do voluntary from the heart, if you really want to help someone from the heart, you don't look for credit, you know. But I had to be quick, and I said, all right, how am I going to keep my community going? That was my first thought. And I came up with the idea of starting online free classes. This was during the first one. I was the first one to start because we weren't even officially closed. It was the second week of March. And I started these online live workouts. It was something completely out of my comfort zone. I hate speaking in front of a camera. I hate not knowing who's watching. In fact, I got to know that there were people who used to literally join to make fun of. But it's fine. The intention was right. I know that I was helping a lot of people. There were times when we were around 400 online throughout the workout. And it wasn't just local.
Sorry, how many?
400. And for me, that was amazing, considering the few thousands of followers that I have. You know, I'm not super present on social media, and I don't have as many followers. But it was amazing. I was receiving such amazing feedback. Locals living abroad, stuck abroad, people from Australia, people from Canada, people from everywhere, Italy, joining from Gozo. It was amazing. I had people telling me, Lee, this is the only hour where I feel close to home. Maybe it's my mat-up girl accent. Maybe it's my, you know, because when you get used to doing something on a daily basis, it becomes not second nature, but you start sharing praspar. You start being you. You stop thinking about what people might think. You start being more you and honest in your approach. And I think we managed to build quite a sweet online community. I used to even receive some gifts from abroad.
Yes, how
it was
lovely.
Sweet, lovely letters. And honestly, I didn't do it for any of that. As soon as we were told that we could reopen, I was a bit, not scared, but I was... I felt lost because I had found a new routine. I was comfortable with it. It was fun, you know, because it was something different. All of a sudden, I had to readjust again. Plus, I was getting a lot of messages from people. Listen, please make it a point that these sessions we can't, you know, stop working out online. I had people telling me, listen, I haven't trained in 5 years. Because I'm too shy to go to a fitness studio or to the gym. This was really comfortable to be able to train at home. And so as soon as we could open, I decided to shift to Zoom. And then when you have your own classes going on, it's hard to do the online, the live online and having isn't people behind. So what I did, I kept some classes online, but I was having some people with me as well at work.
So a hybrid. So like
yes,
online
exactly.
And people with
me. Exactly. So I had a bit of both. Like that, I could limit the number of people at warehouse as well, especially in the beginning. I could still cater for the ones at home. I receive a lot of messages of people just wanting to be listened to. And, you know, you have to obviously you reply and then you give your own suggestions and, Leanne, what can I do? I'm really struggling. I'm not motivated. So I really try my best to be there and to be present. But at times it takes a toll on you and your energy and your positivity. So it has been tough because of various reasons. Business-wise, again, super proud of my online community. I came up with this lockdown league, came up with this point system, and I am making the community do random things like build your own kite and fly your own kite.
What?
Yes, you get 20 bonus points for building your own kite, and then if you actually manage to fly it, you get another 20 points. So it's fun, you know? It feels like going back to primary school.
There's a common theme there, I see.
Yes. So that has been fun. But again, putting that aside, Leanne, the personal side of Leanne, has been struggling a bit. It seems that sports has been categorized as non-essential.
Looking at how sports shops have been inundated with requests for trainers and hiking boots and
yes.
and bicycles have been sold out on waiting lists for 5 months. I happen to know because I tried to get a bike last year. It would seem that the good thing that came out of this COVID period that is that people are becoming more active and that this regarded as non-essential is now becoming essential. Have you seen that? Have you seen that as a sportswoman? And have you seen that through your classes with Warehouse?
I've seen this just from where I live. I live in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, during lockdown, Matap Gargur area has been packed with people walking, trekking, cycling, which is amazing. So yes, all in all, something positive did come out of this lockdown. And yes, at times one negative, maybe negative action leads to a more positive result. In the sense, people are becoming more aware of the importance of sport and mental well-being and the importance of moving and interaction and being outside, being outdoors and not spending as much time in front of the screen. I think that we are becoming more aware. I mean, it is making us aware of the importance of it now. Unfortunately, the importance seems to have faded away slowly as things went back to normal, as people started traveling, as people went back to the crazy working routine. Yes, but that's always the case. And there wasn't much to do. People weren't traveling. People couldn't socialize as much. So, yes, walking, running, cycling was the thing to do. Home workouts were the thing to do. I'm sure that quite a few got motivated or found the courage to start training just because things were available online. And perhaps they always doubted themselves, or perhaps they thought that they are too big to join the gym or too slow, to this, to that. You know, at times we are our own main limitation.
While we're staying on this theme, I had a conversation with Tez in this podcast just recently, and she talked about only ever having been happy with her body image at the time around her wedding, but that to maintain that figure and fitness for her was unsustainable. So you saw a massive take-up of people that started getting interested in fitness. But how does the everyday Joe measure what's right for them and what is sustainable, particularly as we ease out of COVID? What is the realistic dream that you can aspire to? Because we can't all be Leanne Bartolo.
No, and we can't all be Trudy or we can't all be Tez, and we have to just be happy and okay with it. We're all different. We have to start loving ourselves as we are and now. We can't wait to love ourselves when, I can't wait to love myself more when I lose the extra kilos that I put on during the second lockdown. You know, I have to love myself always, and I have to learn to strike a balance. We have to stop comparing ourselves to what we see on social media. I try to make it a point. It's true, I am the European pro champion, yes, but I am always very real and very honest to my followers. And I tell them, listen, I don't always look like that. You know, lockdown was hard on me as well. I too put on weight. And I mean, I kept up my training, I kept on doing my classes. But I was eating more than I was burning. You know, it's only common sense. What does it mean? Does it mean that I stop loving myself? I stop, you know, feeling positive about myself? We all go through phases. What is important is that we strike a balance, because very often we want quick fixes. We want things, we want results now. In Maltese, nejdu issa, issa, issa. You know, anzi, il-bieraħ, yesterday. You know, that is what leads us to irrational decisions, unrealistic goals, and then eventually disappointment. So what I always tell my and I understand Tez when she says this happens to a lot of couples, and I had couples coming to me to train before a wedding, and I used to try and encourage them, listen, guys, there's no need to train 4 times a week. Train 3 times a week. And try to keep it, make it sustainable, keep it up after the wedding, you know, just because you're getting married doesn't mean that it's the end of it, you know. So it's all about finding what works well for you, and what works well for Trudy might not work well for Leanne, you know. My diet might not work on Trudy or on someone, because we are unique. And unfortunately, and I agree with what Tezara had to say about body image and how social media tends to, and I agree. Because I post a photo of myself, how I look on a daily basis, and you know me very well. I don't even bother putting makeup. I'm very real as a person. I feel that I'm very real. I put a photo of myself not wearing makeup in my element, you know, and I get 100 likes. Then I put a photo of myself, perhaps with my abs showing, or in a bikini or on stage, and I get 1,200 likes. That on its own makes you, it puts pressure on you and makes you understand what people want to see as well.
So that's why we have challenges with body issues. Because those posts where somebody is standing there looking incredible can be inspiring, because you think to yourself, hey, listen, you know, Leanne can do that, and Leanne's
so
a lovely girl from Malta. You know, maybe I can achieve something similar. And that's why I'm asking you about how achievable is the dream. Because the dream to have your physique, when you've taken those photographs of you in your championships, I know, I've interviewed you before, takes hours and hours and hours and hours of dedication. And what you said just a minute ago just is about, you know, how much time you can put into this, how dedicated you're going to be to this, and finding the balance between what you want and what you can achieve, just because you have that, those realities, the reality of life.
No, in fact, everyone can achieve. If the random person goes on a restricted diet, because that is what I have to follow when prepping for a competition, everyone would see results. If you do it for 12 consecutive weeks and you train specifically and religiously, and you stick to your, you know, training twice a day and eating your 2-3 liters of water, and you follow a strict routine, yes, everyone sees. But how sustainable is that? And this comes to your question. I mean, is it sustainable? I do it because I have a goal. My competition is the goal. Going back to normality, and in fact, it happens to me as well, I end up binging after. So I tell my own clients, and this is from where the strong challenge idea came from. Because I've been there. I did a number of competitions, and at times back to back, and that was really hard, even on my body and on my hormones. I wanted to present people the right tools to kickstart their healthy lifestyle, because in reality, all we need is a balance, a balanced, healthy lifestyle. How? Eating the right food. First of all, understand more about food, because you'd be surprised at how people have lack information about food.
So information like what?
Like what? If we had to look at your plate, would you know what it is composed of? Would you be able to tell me, look, this is protein. This is, we need this for this. This is carbs. We need this to get our energy, and we get our energy from it. Then we have some fiber. Would you be able to understand what you're eating? Many don't. So you start by giving more knowledge and obviously real and good knowledge, because you can find anything on the internet nowadays. Then you start giving the right knowledge about training and the different type of training. And if you can only dedicate 2 hours of training a week, you adapt your training to your availability as well to try and target the full body in those, during those two sessions. You always work around your availability, your level of fitness as well, because if, let's say, my mom joins an advanced class, she's going to be very put off, and she might get an injury, you know, she might get, so you have to always understand where you're starting from, where you want to get to, and fall in love with the process of getting there.
I want to go full circle, and I want to go right back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Of this story. We've talked about where you ended up and where you are now, but how did you get into fitness and competitions in the first place? Because this must come naturally to you in some respects.
Yes, I was always a tomboy. I still am. I would race against boys and place first during primary years. I was always very, very, very energetic, very. I used to win prizes in gymnastics at school, and running. Those were my two areas. Now, living in Matap, it was a bit hard for my mom to drive me around and to take me for extra lessons. So I used to just stick to my school lessons, and that kind of limited a few things as I grew up. And my teachers used to always encourage me, Leanne, you should take extra lessons. You are so talented. Look, sport was always the area where I managed to shine. Anything else, an A student during secondary years, but it wasn't important to me. It was sport was the highlight for me. Then as soon as I could be independent enough, I started taking extra lessons. So when I turned, I think around, when I turned 16, I used to at times walk it all the way from Matap to Mosta to go for extra lessons. Yes, at times I used to cycle it. And then most probably just because I had to wait so long to be able to have it, then I really meant it. I really worked hard once I could finally do it. I gave it my all. And there was no going back. So, yes, sport was always my thing. I would race barefoot in fields after school. My sister would go in our room and start her homework, and I would run out barefoot, go to my uncle, race, climb up trees. I was really, really hyper.
So we've got a Leanne who is talented and inclined to sports. But then how does that take you into the championships that you've been taking part in? I mean, that's a very different discipline.
In fact, it is, and I would have never imagined myself doing or competing in such competitions. What had happened was that during my secondary years, during primary years, I was always comfortable, confident, because I used to have my sisters around me. Then during secondary years, I was the only one not to attend the same school. So I had no friends, and it was the very first experience for me to not be around family or siblings or close friends. So I went from one extreme to the other. I was still very good at school, both school and sport. So I used to win prizes, but socially, I became very socially awkward. I was very shy. I was never the cool kid myself. I would, be sitting down on the floor reading a book. So that was, quite not the cool thing to do. And at some point, I had gone to a psychologist. This was still when I was quite young, I think at around the age of 18. And she had encouraged me to do something daring. And way back, I mean, she had suggested, she had given me homework to do. She had told me to, as in, think about something daring. What would be something daring for Leanne? And what all I could think of was a photo shoot. because I had never done a shoot in my life. So I said, maybe I can do a photo shoot, a sport one. But I never got to do it. So after opening Warehouse, it wasn't the same year, I think, I decided to train, you know, to restrict my chocolate intake because I'm a chocolate, to do this shoot. From this shoot, I was challenged to compete, not knowing what the competition exactly involved. I said, yes, okay.
And when was this?
This was November 2017.
Okay, so this is the year before you then went ahead and won in 2018.
I won nationally here. That I did my first competition and I won straight away. And I wasn't expecting it, honestly, because I wasn't the most muscular out of everyone. But I think they see the whole package. And something was sure when Leanne is shy, Leanne smiles a lot. That must have helped me a little bit. I don't know. Then it was a snowball effect.
Listen, because you've mentioned this being shy. You've mentioned it a good number of times, and there's something it's just bugging me. I need to ask you about this. You're very down to earth. You talked about being shy. You're naturally very beautiful. Now, these competitions that you've entered and either won or been placed in require you to adopt pretty heavy makeup,
yes,
enhance your tan, and wear some very fabric-efficient bikinis, let's use it that, scantily clad.
Yes.
And you're doing this on stage, on an international stage. How does that work? Because I'm sitting here looking at you, and you're not wearing makeup, and you are very down-to-earth and shy, but then if somebody looks at you at a photograph in one of these competitions, it's incredibly difficult to reconcile between those two sides of Leanne.
Honestly, a part of me thinks of it as a gymnastics routine. So I have it in my head, you know, just like when we used to do gymnastics, we used to learn routines. And that's it, that's your routine. And the more you practice it, the better you are going to perform it, obviously. So in my head, that's how I justify all the walking and the ugly posing. Because at times, yes, I do see some photos and I say, oh, how do I do that? But at the same time, what I love about it is to understand what discipline can lead you to. Then on, when it comes to wearing the fabric-efficient attire, to me, as soon as they apply a number of layers of that fake tan, in my head, it feels like I'm wearing a costume. It's true. And I don't feel
a
that
number
I'm,
of layers.
Yes, a number of layers. I'm caked with the, they, everyone, all the athletes are because of the stage light and all. Otherwise, definition doesn't come. And obviously, I'm in my category. I compete in the soft category, the natural category. So, if you don't have that, no muscle will show. With the extra layers of tan, you have a tiny hint of muscle showing. So perhaps, and also because everyone else is on the same level. And most probably because I don't know anyone. Because I tend to be very shy, especially when I know people. I don't know how to explain it.
No, you're playing a part.
In my head, yes. Because I had my own siblings telling me, no, this is not you. My own dad, as if this is not you. And I said, oh, it's me, but, you know, it's me on stage. I'm still the same. In fact, if you see me behind the scenes, all the other girls would be flaunting it. And I'm there in my flip-flops until a minute before going on stage, counting my M&Ms to see how many left for after. You know, Leanne remains Leanne, and I don't change. And the pity is that I had people judging me and saying, there's this Maltese saying, "Kif spiċċat Leanne," because I was competing in such competitions. And no, I mean, I think that people should never judge or say, take it the other way, you know, try to understand why that person decided to go out of their comfort. You know, for me, that was such a big deal. That's Leanne out of her comfort zone.
So one last question for you. And in one sentence, what can you say to inspire others?
What I can say is that it's never too late to start, and there's never the right time to start. So just plan it, see what you can afford time-wise, and start. It doesn't have to be perfect. Start, and then you will learn about yourself, about what works for you, what doesn't work for you, as you go along. Love the process. When you love the process, everything else becomes easy.
One sentence.
One, sorry.
Leanne Barcelo, you're amazing. Listen, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, for sharing your passions, but also being very, very honest with us today. Thank you so much, Leanne.
Thank you, Tru, for having me.
Wishing you all the very, very best, and looking forward to you giving me a hard time over my stomach crunches.
I can't wait.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.